This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Thursday, September 11th, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, there's a contingency of scientists who say we shouldn't burn coal at all. And we'll have a look at your forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, today's news. Under a plan approved yesterday by the Illinois House, the state would raise $10 billion for building roads and schools by privatizing its state-run lottery for half a century. After years of resisting, House Speaker Michael Madigan and his House Democrats approved turning the lottery over to a private vendor because Governor Rob Blagojevich and the legislature have never agreed on another way to pay for a statewide construction program. The more than $1 billion cut from the state budget has had consequences across the state. State parks are scheduled to close, so are about a dozen state historic sites, and substance abuse treatment centers say they have been forced to lay off employees and can't help many clients. Yesterday, the Illinois House took steps to reverse the cuts, closures, and layoffs. The House voted to divert $200 million out of dedicated state funds to restore the cuts. But Republican Representative Bill Black of Danville warns that the measure still must go before the Senate and governor.
I don't think people should be celebrating the restoration of things that they want, and in many cases, things that we really need at this point, because this still has a long, arduous process it must go through.
Even so, members of the House applauded when the measure passed. Blagojevich says he was forced to make the cuts because the state's budget was out of balance. As state budget cuts lead to less funding for social service agencies, private fundraisers are picking up the burden. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports on how less state money is affecting the United Way of Champaign County.
For the first time in several years, the United Way of Champaign County is kicking off its fall fundraising campaign with a higher goal, $3.2 million instead of $3 million. President and CEO Lynn Jones says the increase comes after contributions surpassed the $3 million goal last year for the first time.
We certainly didn't want to have a lower goal than the year before, but the real impetus has to do with the genuine needs in the community.
And Jones says meeting those needs is harder now because state budget cuts mean many service agencies are getting less state funding or have to fill the gap caused by reductions in state services.
We've seen a number of organizations who are part of the United Way Federation request additional funding kind of out of cycle because they've lost money in terms of government funding.
Jones says cuts in state funding are pushing some agencies to seek membership in the United Way for the first time in order to make up for the loss. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
For more information about the United Way of Champaign County, go to their website at www.uwayhelps.org. Hours after the governor called on lawmakers to do the right thing and agree with him, the Illinois House instead soundly rejected changes Blagojevich made to an ethics measure. Amanda Vinicky has more.
Illinois has long been known as the wild, wild west of campaign finance, and it's taken years to get legislation through the General Assembly putting any limits on donations. This measure is intended to curb the practice of politicians rewarding campaign contributors by giving them lucrative state contracts. When it got to Blagojevich's desk, he used his veto power to load it up with additional changes, changes unpopular with lawmakers. Here's the measure's sponsor, Democratic Representative John Fritchie of Chicago, encouraging the House to reject the add-ons.
This bill has seen more hurdles than the Beijing Olympics. This is simply one more of those hurdles.
Fritchie says he'll introduce the governor's ideas separately, but Blagojevich doesn't buy it.
They either won't call it or they'll call it and they'll find a way for it not to pass.
The Senate has 15 days to decide if the fundraising limits measure in its original version will die or become law. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
State higher education authorities will get a bigger budget request for the University of Illinois next year. Trustees vote today on a proposal for $109 million in additional state funding for the 2010 fiscal year. That's 7.7% higher than this year's spending plan. U of I spokesman Tom Hardy says much of it will go toward higher salaries, higher fuel and utility costs, and statewide priorities like teacher education. Hardy says it's hard to balance funding between state money and tuition from students.
we're obliged to make this budget request, you know, using our, you know, best experience and instincts. Now, this goes through a long process, as you know. In the meantime, we're going to need to sort out what our tuition needs are going to be.
The U of I also hopes to submit a $454 million request for capital projects, including the long-awaited renovation of Lincoln Hall. Hardy says that list of needs has changed little over time, with deferred maintenance expenses the most important need. He says the university is carefully watching the latest legislative activity over a capital funding bill that could include money for Lincoln Hall or the petascale facility that's expected to house the world's fastest computer array. Governor Blagojevich says he wants changes on the Chicago Transit Authority Board, and he wants to take a look at why the agency is wasting taxpayer money. Blagojevich is defending giving free rides to senior citizens and says the CTA should stop blaming seniors for its money trouble. The governor's comments yesterday were in reaction to Mayor Richard Daley, who said the governor would be to blame if the CTA is forced to raise fares. Daley pointed to the free rides offered to senior citizens as a reason the CTA made another $40 million in cuts this week. Blagojevich also has vetoed a reduced fare subsidy and recently signed a new law mandating free rides for low-income people with disabilities. Danville City Council members will be asked next week to approve a rate increase for its mass transit system. The proposal moves on to the full council after no one showed up opposing the move in a committee hearing on Tuesday. The city's Public Works Committee unanimously approved the plan. Most fares will increase between 33% and 45%. The biggest jump, the discounted fare for children and seniors, going from 35 to 50 cents. Danville Mass Transit Operations Supervisor Lisa Beeth says the lack of public turnout Tuesday was a surprise, but she says riders shouldn't be shocked by the first suggested fare hike in 7 years.
Parts have gone up, labor's gone up, insurance has gone up. So, you know, nothing has gone down in price, but, you know, we've tried to keep our ridership has gone up, which has helped offset some of the hit we were taking with our fare box money.
Beeth says fuel costs are also a large factor. She also says the DMT has experienced a lot of service increases through its buses that run between Champaign and Danville. She says the transit system has held off for as long as it could before suggesting the hike. Danville City Council meets next Tuesday night to consider the increase. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bonser. One of the cheapest, easiest ways to make electricity in America is to burn coal. But there's this little problem of global warming. The coal power industry is a major offender because burning coal gives off carbon dioxide, the main greenhouse gas. It's enough to make you think, should we burn coal at all? Shauna Lee reports some scientists hope to prove we can put coal emissions out of sight, out of mind.
A big part of our global warming problem starts right in coal country. Recently, I recorded this coal train leaving a coal mine destined for some power plants. It was a long train, and across the country, hundreds like it run constantly. The coal power industry generates half our electricity, and that's responsible for nearly 40% of the carbon dioxide, or CO2, that we chuck into the atmosphere. Well, wouldn't it be great if we could reverse some of this? So when we pull coal out of the earth and then burn it, we could just send some of the carbon dioxide gas underground? Well, that idea is getting tested by scientists, and recently I found one.
What's your name, sir?
Robert Finley. I'm the director for the Center for Energy and Earth Resources at the Illinois State Geologic Survey.
Finley wants to take carbon dioxide and bury it deep under the town of Decatur, Illinois. He says the rock has to be just right. One layer needs to absorb the carbon dioxide, while other rock has to keep it put.
In order for the CO2 to remain in the subsurface to not leak back to the atmosphere, we have to have an excellent seal.
Finley calls this geological carbon sequestration, and he says it's worked in small tests. His experiment and six others across the country are much larger. Finley says the technology is promising but needs testing.
Decatur involves 2 years of characterizing the site and drilling wells before we even inject CO2, 3 years of CO2 injection, and then 2 more years of study of the site. So that, in total, is a 7-year effort.
Again, Finley has to make sure the carbon dioxide stays underground and that it will not hurt water or other underground resources. But while Finley does his experiment, coal plants continue to dump CO2 into the atmosphere. And that's got some environmental groups a little impatient.
The best way to avoid emissions from burning coal is to not burn it in the first place.
This is Ron Burke, the Midwest director for the Union of Concerned Scientists.
We can meet most, if not all, of our nation's energy needs by substantially increasing the use of energy efficiency and renewable energy.
But when you listen to Mr. Obama and Mr. McCain when they're hitting the campaign trail for president, both of these candidates seem to want to make it work. When Mr. Finley and others doing work on the ground say, I won't even have my data until 2014.
Right. It's clear that a lot of elected officials and others share this aspirational goal, right, to commercially develop so-called clean coal technologies. But right now, we can't depend on it. We shouldn't be developing plans to mitigate greenhouse gases, assuming that that technology is going to be available.
Geologist Robert Finley agrees that we cannot rely on carbon sequestration exclusively. Even if CO2 can stay underground forever, there's no guarantee we can afford to send it there.
One could argue that we should have been doing this 5 years ago or earlier, but we can't go forward and simply drill a well next year and start putting this in the ground without these kind of studies, because that would be, I think, reckless in my view.
Finley does not apologize for the pace of science. He says he's confident it can answer questions about carbon sequestration. He just hopes it's in time to make a difference for the global warming problem. For the Environment Report, I'm Sean Aldi.
In the forecast for the region, increasing clouds today, the high 81. Cloudy skies tonight, a few showers and thunderstorms, the low 65. Cloudy skies tomorrow, periods of rain and thunderstorms, the high 78. Cloudy tomorrow night, rain and thunderstorms, the low 65. Mostly cloudy Saturday, occasional showers and thunderstorms, most numerous during the mid to late afternoon, the high 78. Cloudy Saturday night, with rain and thunderstorms, the low 64. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, September 11th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wyll.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.